The invitation has already gone out to us. We are to come, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with power. Not people can do it, but he does it, and we are so grateful for that. I would like to read a word of God before we pray. What Paul says here, this great man of God in his time. Here it says in Galatians 1, right from verse 1, just a few verses. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. This is a very precious word of God. And for us as believers, every word of God is very precious. And every verse we read is so glorious for us. And we are the ones who believe every word. And when Paul, this man of God, says here that he is an apostle, not appointed by men, nor commissioned by men, but by the will of the Lord, then we can believe that wholeheartedly, because it was indeed so. He did not take anything for himself. No, but we know the whole story of what happened to him. He was a persecutor of the church, but it happened by the will of God. Brothers and sisters, and not only himself, but he says here in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. And then he says, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father. Yes, he wished this peace from God for the believers. We need the peace of God, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, in these days, and we must have this peace from God. If we do not have this peace from God, then we have the opposite, discord, and it doesn't come from God, it comes from the evil one, because he has been the discord from the beginning. But God is the one who brings peace. And Paul, such a mighty man of God, did not utter empty words, but spoke through the Spirit and was able to convey these greetings to the believers, with those who were with him. And we who have received grace from God can only proclaim the same. Peace from God is what we wish for each one. Is it so? Amen. Peace from God, brothers and sisters. It is worth thinking about whether we are peacemakers, whether the peace of God has taken hold of your heart or my heart, or whether discord has taken hold of it. Oh, that's a precious word that we all need to take to heart. But I believe with all my heart that the peace of God has taken hold of our hearts. Is that right? Oh, then we can say a true amen. And then we are also peacemakers. We seek peace. We have no more desire for discord. Where there is discord, we want to get away. We want to flee and leave the place and go where there is peace. And we know that peace is only in Jesus. forgiveness in Him alone, as the songwriter sings. And this is a fact. No one can make peace. We see it in these days, where people are struggling for peace, big and small, the mighty ones. Everyone wants peace, but nobody is able to bring peace, not even the UN, not even the Pope. Nobody is able to bring peace. Perhaps the hour will yet come when they will cry out, peace, peace. But then the Bible says, sudden destruction cometh upon them, as through a veil upon a woman with child. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, but praise and thanks, we don't want to give peace to people. We want peace from God. Peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. And Paul says in verse 4, I'm sure you noticed it, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Paul, he already saw in those days what kind of time it was. It was an evil time, an evil world. But he says, this is what the Lord has come for, to pull us out of it. And we can say, He has pulled us out too. Yes, with a mighty hand. We are so grateful. And that is why we also want to honor Him this afternoon and believe Him and worship Him. For He is worthy to be honored, worthy to be trusted, and worthy to be believed with all our heart. And then we will continue to listen to God's word. Let us stand up now to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you together for this gathering, for this hour, this afternoon, with your people, whom you have called in these days, and you are still calling us to come to you today. You want to baptize us with the Spirit and fire. You want to meet us, O Lord, O faithful God. We want to meet you in your glory, in your loveliness this afternoon. I pray thee, come from on high, thou Spirit of the Lord. Move in our midst, Lord. Lord, we can take nothing for ourselves, nor do we want anything prefabricated or imitated, but we only want to experience your divine glory and your Holy Spirit. We want to hear your word and say yes and amen to it. I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters and all those who have come to hear your word. Lord, they would have had another reason to go somewhere else, but they have chosen this place this afternoon. Lord, may you bless them all from the riches of your grace, and especially our dear brother who will bring your word. I pray, Lord, strengthen him after spirit, soul and body, Lord. My God, and us too, who may be weary from the day's burden and heat. But Lord, we look up to you, for we know that new blessings and new rain come from you. Praise be to your wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we trust in you. Also this afternoon, you will feed us with a life-giving manna. Hallelujah. To your marvelous and wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I also welcome you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord. We believe that God will bless us. He is a God who blesses, who has blessed from the beginning. He said to Abraham, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. And all the seed of Abraham, the children of faith, the children of promise, are blessed by God because of the promises the Lord has made. And even more, they are blessed by the fulfillment of God's promises. There are many people who believed in the promise that the Messiah would come, and they passed it by when he came. So there are also many people who believe that the Lord will come again, but they miss the promise that foreruns his coming. And that is why it is so necessary to hear the word of the hour. What God has ordained for this time, we will never become popular with it, never find recognition in this world. But the word of God tells us, if we want to be friends of the world, we will prove to be enemies of God. I think these words that Paul said at that time are written in the same chapter. Here, in Galatians 1, if I remember correctly, Paul expressed these words. Galatians 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Do we realize what this is about? You cannot please God and people at the same time. You cannot do God's will and your own will at the same time. You cannot do God's word and man's word at the same time. We must make our decision before the face of God and make it correctly in order to be able to say with Paul, as he writes to the Romans, rather it remains that God alone is true and every man a liar. No matter how holy he pretends to be, and in one of the sermons that we have just translated, Brother Branham says, I have not been able to understand how Abraham, a great prophet of God, could utter a lie and say to King Abimelech, Sarah is not my wife, she is my sister. And Brother Branham then simply says, by summarizing it all, for God to be right, the greatest prophets, one way or the other, here or there, have had to show a flaw somewhere so that God alone stands flawless, holy, exalted in His majesty. Who are we? We are huts of clay. If God takes His breath or His spirit from us, what is left? And there are people who don't quite understand the word from Ecclesiastes, which one denomination in particular makes its own. It actually says, man is like the beast. And this denomination, which I am deliberately not naming, but is well known in all countries, takes this verse from Ecclesiastes. And you know what? That the unbelieving man, the man without God, basically has nothing over the animal. It's a pity that he was human if he went past what God had planned for him to the end. Then he could have grazed in the pasture with the ox, because the end will be almost the same. But it is quite different with people who have become God's children, people whom God has immortalized, people who have been transformed from temporal creatures into sons and daughters of God who will live forever, and we can count ourselves among them. Paul, the great man of God, says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? I show you here a picture of a large charismatic Pentecostal meeting in Strasbourg yesterday, Sunday, with David Duplessis. And everyone has a candle to indicate that the light has somehow come, or that the Spirit of God has fallen. Everyone has a candle, a large crowd. Everyone has a candle in their hand, and that is Pentecost. Beloved, when the 120 were gathered, it wasn't a priest coming around to light a candle, perhaps with his lighter, but people were gathered in the presence of God to experience the promise of the Father. And we are here today not to light a candle, but so that God could light His fire and pour out His Holy Spirit. Jesus, our Lord, said it, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? And yet we must be careful that our eyes are not darkened. Here are people who have the approval of all religions, the approval of the dignitaries. Here he is pictured in front with his cross on his chest. Our Lord did not wear a cross on his chest. He carried the cross, took upon himself all our iniquity, and went to the cross he carried, and was crucified on the cross he carried for you and for me. Oh, how the people have turned all this into an outward form without yet grasping the divine meaning. The two run parallel. Everywhere there is talk of Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit, in all churches and all denominations. But where is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And where the word of truth is heard and believed, there the Spirit of truth reveals himself to reveal the word of truth to people? Do I now seek to please God or to please men? We still know to some extent how disastrous it can be when a person is applauded. He then feels confirmed in his actions, even if the greatest disaster is connected with his actions. Beloved, we are not here today to applaud a person. We are gathered here today before the face of God and have a right to hear the word of God and not the word of man. And may the Lord give us His blessing. Paul comes to the conclusion here and says, "For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Here we have the standard. Whoever holds a spiritual office and carries in his heart the desire to find favor and approval with men has clearly expressed that he is not a servant of Christ at all, even if he claims to be one. As you all know, we are told in the first church age message of Revelation chapter 2, "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." And Paul writes to the Corinthians that they wear the mask of apostles, but are lying apostles, because they do not keep to the original apostolic proclamation of the word of God. How grateful we can be that God is now leading us back to the beginning, at the end, and that He has given us the compass, so to speak, to find our way through the revelation of His word in the midst of all the waves and everything under and over, and to walk the path with God. Let's look at a few scriptures before we take time to pray. From the prophet Zechariah, chapter 10, I read verse 1. "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." Both the early and the latter rain are mentioned here. In the beginning, at the time of the sowing, when the New Testament was put into effect and the church was founded and given its commission to carry it out, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, God came down in the power of the Holy Spirit and filled those who were to share in this proclamation and in the blessings of God. Here we are told both. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain and in the time of the former rain. At that time, they came together and prayed for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the early rain for the church in its beginning. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be the latter rain in the church at the end. And you know very well that the rain softens the land. No matter how hard it may be, if enough rain comes, then everything becomes soft. Then it can be worked, tilled, and then it can be sown. Beloved, God is making a great effort. He wants to cultivate the soil of your and my heart. He wants to plant His seed in your and my heart, so that He can then bring forth a harvest. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain and the former rain. At that time, our brothers and sisters came together and asked for the early rain, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. At this time, all brothers and sisters come together to ask God for this rain of blessing at the time of the latter rain. I mean, we are not satisfied with what we have received so far, and we do not want to be deceived when the Lord Jesus returns and hold a lighted candle in our hands, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and go forward to the coming of the Lord. Let us read from the prophet Isaiah, who foretold the whole plan of salvation. Isaiah 44, from verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. Isn't that a marvelous word? In the beginning, because of the covenant that God had made with Israel, the promises were connected and linked to this name Israel. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 9. But these promises have been made through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to all peoples, tongues and nations. For thus it is written that the Lord has chosen a people out of all the peoples under heaven, and there will be an innumerable multitude before the throne of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, purchased, free, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And as it is said here, God Himself speaking, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed." Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have become divine seed, just as we earthly are all coming from Adam, so all God's children are coming from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For he was the firstborn among many brethren, and we shall be like him in that day. For as I pour out water on the thirsty land and floods on the dry ground, so I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. Yesterday we read the marvelous word from Joel chapter 3 that says, "Thus saith God, in the last days it shall come to pass that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Oh, we need a new, powerful, biblical outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where heads are not shaken, but hearts are reached and moved and filled. A thing that a person no longer needs to help with, but that God could answer. Oh, how we long to see the last section of the book of Acts, which must be just like the first. And if we know God's word sufficiently, then we know that it is written, "The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former." God says, "I will restore and give you back all the years that were lost and forfeited to you." And when God restores, it will be in a rich abundance, at least as much as has been lost. If 5,000 Deutschmark or Swiss francs were stolen from me, and I were to tell you that they have been restored to me, then you know exactly that the amount that was lost has been restored and given back to me. Beloved, the same apostolic truths, the same revealed word of God, yes, the living presence of God is returning to the Church of the Lord in these last days. And we as children of God have the task of praying to God for rain in the time of the latter rain. We cannot lay our hands in our laps and say, it will work out somehow. I ask you today, how did Elijah pray after the 3.5 years of drought when the rain was supposed to come? The Bible says, he put his head between his knees. I don't know how it went, but he was all bent over, wrestling and pleading for God to give rain. As long as we are indifferent, nothing will happen at all. It must take hold of us inwardly and sweep us along, and the necessity of what God has promised must become conscious and clear to us. If we live with a thought that things will work out somehow, then not much will happen. But if we say, Lord, you commanded us to pray for rain in the time of the latter rain. You have told us that as water is poured out on dry ground, so I will pour out my Spirit on your sons. Beloved, the baptism of the Spirit is part of becoming a believer. In the early church, there was not a single believer who had not received the Holy Spirit. And when Paul came to Ephesus and met 12 brothers there who called themselves believers, he addressed the first question to them with the words, have you received the Holy Spirit since you became believers? We heard in the opening word that he was not a man who men had appointed, but was ordained by God to preach the gospel, not to please men, but to make such men by preaching on whom the well-pleasing of God would rest. And I believe that the task of preaching the end-time message is not to please men, but to turn people into people who please God, people on whom God's well-pleasing can rest. And with Enoch it says that he was caught up because he had the testimony that God's well-pleasing rested on him. He was the seventh after Adam. Thus it is written, as a perfect picture that at the end of the seventh church age, there will be people living on earth on whom God's well-pleasing rests, who will not see death, but will experience their transformation and be taken up. God wants to make such people out of us, out of me, out of you, in these days. And then we say, O God, how great art thou, and how marvelous and incomprehensible is your grace. Men, whom God has sent have no choice. John the Baptist could not please people, no matter what his father Zacharias may have said or thought. He was a man sent by God with a message to prepare the people and bring them to the Lord. It was the same with Brother Branham. We cannot deny what God has done. We have to say to those who demand this of us, that's not how it works. I'm still convinced today that the people who invented the submarine must have thought of Jonah, that this fish could swim down there, and that this man had enough oxygen. What was it? He wanted to flee, but God did not flee from him. He sank to the bottom of the sea. And then it is written that Jonah turned his eyes once again to Jerusalem, and his eyes turned to the temple where God had come down with his glory. And the Bible says that God heard Jonah and commanded the fish to bring him to land. Who can flee from his presence, and who can resist his will? Beloved, we are dealing with the last words of God. We are dealing with the end of the end times. We are gathered here before the face of God so that we get serious and that we call on the name of the Lord so that his blessing may descend upon us. It continues here in the prophet Isaiah chapter 45 from verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. How marvelous is this promise of God. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. In the prophet Zechariah, we read that God gives the early and latter rain, and that the clouds carry it down. Just as the earthly clouds bring the water out of the great sea and pour it down in torrents, so that there can be natural floods, so God wants to show us that the streams will come down from the eternal source of salvation, from the waters of God. God wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And we think here of the words of our Lord and Savior in the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, well known to all of us. Here the Lord Jesus says, John chapter 7, from verse 39, perhaps already from verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Beloved, here the Lord raised his voice and spoke, not on the first day or the second, but on the last day. What did he emphasize? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water that should flow from those who have come to believe in him. If we believe that Jesus spoke these words and also fulfilled them to the believers at the beginning, can we not believe that he will also fulfill them to the believers at the end? He gave the promise for our salvation. He has saved us. Blessed be his name. He gave the promise of the forgiveness of our sins. He has forgiven our sins. He foretold his resurrection and rose again on the third day. And then he commanded his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem until they had been endued with power from on high. They stayed there and stood on the promise of God at the time of the early rain. The heavens were opened and the blessing came down in torrents. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that God can let us experience Pentecost today, and not a Pentecost in 1982, as people celebrated, but a Pentecost of early Christianity, which can bring us into a new life of power and service. Oh, God wants us to believe today, and then we shall see the glory of God. Here it is said of our Lord, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the only explanation we are given is, This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Beloved, we have become believers by the grace of our God. Not believers in a denomination or a religious movement, but believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Believers in our Lord and Savior. And on top of that, we have also accepted the word and the promises for this time. Paul writes a marvelous word to the Ephesians. In chapter 1, we read from verse 12, Ephesians chapter 1, from verse, perhaps from verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. These biblical truths and experiences of salvation are summarized here. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, have received forgiveness of our iniquities and sins, have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, have come to believe, and are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Beloved, this is where the great difference between all religious movements lies, and we don't want to mention them by name. No one should think that we are here to criticize others. If we wanted to criticize, we would find enough in ourselves to criticize. But we are here to put divine things in divine order and to show God's people what is happening at this time. Many are being anointed with the Holy Spirit. They are operating gifts, they are rejoicing and are of good cheer, and everyone is going on in their own direction. Everyone is going back to where they came from. And there is a great movement in all the churches and all denominations at this time. And people are talking about it everywhere. And you can even read in the newspapers recently from the capital of the USSR that Billy Graham and some high people have said this or that. Beloved, we have learned one thing, not to say this or that, but to listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And the Spirit does not speak by heart, but inwardly. And by that I don't mean outside the Scriptures, but within the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures, all things are marvelously revealed to us by the Spirit. So it is not enough for us to follow just a religious movement, because there will be thousands and tens of thousands all over the world. Yes, under certain circumstances, it can reach into the millions. Everything will be swept away by the charisma of this time. everyone can carry on as before, as long as they somehow utter words or sounds that they themselves and others do not understand. Everything is okay. Nothing that people do is okay with God. With God is only okay what He Himself can do in you, in me, and in everyone else through His Word and Spirit. When we have grasped this in faith, then we will also recognize why the messenger of the last days stood outside all organizations and denominations, namely to call out the children of God from everywhere. If I myself go into a thing and am a part of it myself, how can I call others out of the thing? Beloved, let me give you a few examples so that you know what is meant. If Martin Luther, if a John Huss, if a Zwingli, and whoever they all were, a Schwenkfeld, a Moody, whoever they all may have been, if they had stayed where they were, they and others would not have been helped. God pulled them out. They became unpopular. The curse was pronounced on them by men. But the blessing of God came upon them. And the Holy Scripture says, what God has blessed remains blessed. Didn't Balaam want to curse the people of Israel? He was a religious dignitary. He was like an archbishop and thought he was allowed to say something. Of course, in the pious statement, only what the Lord will tell me. Yes, you can become so pious that you say to yourself, I am the voice of God on earth. I speak and act in God's stead. You can even say, I am the representative of Jesus Christ here on earth. Yes, you can say anything and then pronounce a curse on people who have been seized by God and recognized the word of truth and gone out, and God has lit a new fire. And what happened? After a while, everything cooled down and God laid His hand on a Wesley, on a Whitefield, and on others who were used by God in a special way at that time. If these men had stayed where they were, they would not have been able to call anyone out and lead them to God. God calls out His servants and then sends them with a message to call out those who are destined to hear the voice of God. And it matters not what church or denomination we belong to, what fellowship or community, but that we hear the voice of God and let ourselves be built up as the church of the living God in these last days. Today, it may be a great privilege to say, I am this and I am that. Today, people are respected. If they belong to the largest church, they have the greatest reputation, And if they belong to a small splinter party, they have little prestige. But those who are completely on the side of God and follow Jesus have no prestige at all. They lose everything and gain everything. Hallelujah. If we cannot lose everything, then we will never be able to gain everything. Beloved, by the grace of our God, we have realized what a serious time we are living in, and that God is speaking to us and to many others in a very serious way. We must be able to die to ourselves in order to live with Jesus. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit fell. The same Spirit will now fall at the end. Before the rapture of the bright church of Jesus Christ, the last member of His body will have been filled with the Holy Spirit. For this power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, must have taken dwelling in our mortal bodies in order to be able to transform them and lift them up. I believe that God will do this by grace. Let me address one more word to you from Colossians, namely from chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 describes Jesus Christ, and verse 10 describes the church. Let us read these two verses. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Not only that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily, but with Him all the fullness of the Godhead has come down to earth. God was in Christ, and now we are in Christ, and we possess all the fullness of the Godhead in Him. He possesses us, and we possess everything that belongs to Him. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, that we could believe it. We can still sleep, but not now. And I'm convinced that God will bless us mightily today. But fire must not come under our seat, but into our heart. And this fire of God is here today. We already mentioned it yesterday in Zurich, when God was about to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He appeared to Moses in the pillar of fire, in the burning bush. And when you follow up this story, up to Genesis 3, and then to the time when Gideon was chosen, in Genesis 3 it says, the ground will bear thorns and thistles. That was a sign of the curse. Thorns and thistles shall it bear. And then at the time of election, it was said, the best is like a thorn bush. And what did Jesus wear on His head? when he had to lay down his blood and life on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, not a rosary, but a crown of thorns. The roses are so close to the thorns, but before the roses could come forth, the thorns had to come forth. And he took the whole curse upon himself and redeemed us so that we could be torn out of perdition and have eternal life. Back then, when the Lord God appeared to Moses, not in a marvelous, beautiful tree, not in a bouquet of flowers with a wonderful scent, not in any plant that we would describe as beautiful and pleasant, but in a bush of thorns with a holy fire of God, as if he wanted to say, I am a consuming fire. Before me the whole earth is cursed and like these thorns, but I have come to deliver my people, for I have seen their misery and heard their cry. I have come to lead them out with a mighty hand. There he appeared in the thorn bush to lead the Old Testament people out. In the New Testament, this crown of thorns was placed on his head, and there he gave his blood and his life for the church of the firstborn, for the holy multitude who will one day see the face of God. And you and I can proclaim, as even the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. But then an angel took a coal, a glowing coal from the altar, and touched his lips and said, now you are clean. Finally, let's move on to what happened in the upper room. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Words came from their lips, and the great deeds of God were proclaimed, and people were seized by the Spirit of God and did not reason with their minds with wisdom, but believed in their hearts and were saved. And God added to the church. I believe that God adds. We may call many people into a church, and if we have an appealing nature, and perhaps we will be able to speak to some and bring them in, let me say today, that is not enough for anyone. You and I can speak to people. We can invite them. That is even our task. But when they come under the sound of the Word of God, then God speaks to them. Then He speaks to them. And then His Word goes through their marrow and bone, through their heart and soul. And I believe that God has done the same with us today. His word has gone through and through me. How marvelous are the images of the Old Testament. How wonderful the setting forth of the plan of salvation of our God. And we may live at the end and see and experience the fulfillment of what God began back then. Today, in this place, we would all like to have a new encounter with our God. Do you believe that God will give it to us? Do you believe that God answers prayers? Don't say, I prayed so many times and nothing has happened. What happened to the prophet Elijah? He prayed once and nothing happened. And the second time and nothing happened. And Gehazi comes back and says every time, I still don't see anything. And then the prophet says, I see a cloud rising out of the sea as big as a man's hand. In the twinkling of an eye, the sky was covered by this small cloud. And the prophet said to Ahab, prepare and depart, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Beloved, we have heard the message of Elijah, who turned the hearts of the children of God back to the apostolic fathers. We have heard the promise of the latter rain, and we believe it with all our hearts, and know that God will fulfill His promise. Blessed and praised be His name. How many would like to put their tongue at the service of God? It must be a done deal in your heart. Because the moment the fire of God touches our tongue, all talk is over. Everything has stopped. At the moment, we have only one task left, and that is to proclaim the great deeds of our God. Today, there is a hopeless confusion. Many people say they have the Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues, and they talk about all sorts of impossible things that you don't know what hit you, and no one becomes a believer by that. It was different in the beginning. The people of God were placed under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They became new people, were given a new task, and their task was to say what God had done for them. And the unbelievers, they collapse and say, are not all these men from Galilee? How come we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? What was it? The Holy Spirit came upon the church. The Holy Spirit came upon all 120, not 118 or 119, over 120, over as many as were gathered there. I believe in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all God's people, from the first to the last. Send rain at the time of the latter rain. This is the time of the latter rain. God wants to send mighty blessings, as at the beginning, so also at the end. Let us believe it with all our heart, and we will receive it. For what He has promised, He will surely keep. We believe this with all our hearts today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us stand up and bow our heads in silent prayer before God. The main purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is to call the lost to find salvation and receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. As we all bow our heads and close our eyes, let me ask if there is anyone here today who wants to consecrate their life to God. The Lord is calling you. Dear heart, there is no other way, no other door, no other truth. Jesus Christ is calling you today. Listen and respond to His call. As we all pray, I want to ask those, if you have the courage to raise your hands for a moment and put them back down so we can see who is ready to consecrate their lives to God. God bless you, young sister. I call you sister on purpose because I believe that the Lord has saved you. God bless you, brother, here on my left. God bless you, brother, here on my right. God bless you. God bless you. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Many will give thanks for eternity to those through whose mouth God has called to eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is not about a person. It is about the divine call. Dear heart, one day the last opportunity will be over. One day, the last hour, the last minute will come. What then, friend, where will you spend eternity? What will you say then? Is there anyone left who will raise their hand and testify to dedicating their life to God? May the Lord bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word, for the great, all-encompassing offer of grace that you have given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I ask you to save every soul, deliver every spirit, forgive all iniquity and sin, bless all those who have raised their hands, whose hearts beat towards you. Call out the last ones, so that the number gets full and you may come again. Oh, I thank you for your holy and precious word. Beloved Lord, now let us all pray together for a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit and pray that you will send the latter rain and believe that you have already done so, so that it can pour down as surely as you send the early rain, so surely will you send the latter rain. As surely as you had a church at the beginning, so surely you will have it at the end. Thanksgiving, praise and honor. Faithful Lord, even now, you are mighty present. Your Spirit reigns and works in our midst. Your word does not return void, but accomplishes what you send it to do. Heal also the sick. Bear witness to yourself as the risen one, as the same Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to whom all power in heaven and on earth has been given. Lord, you are in heaven, we are on earth. Reveal your power here on earth, in the midst of your church, for the honor and praise of your wonderful and holy name. I thank you for it, that you have done it in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and glory to our God.
Amen.
Amen.